From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's January 8th, 2026. On today's show, will Washington join the increasingly long list of states changing their congressional maps to favor one political party? We'll hear from a state legislator who wants to get that process started. And the Kootenai County Assessor is trying to revoke a tax exemption for a property owner in Rathdrum. The owner says it's only because she's challenging him in this year's elections. Plus, SPR's Doug Nadbornik brings us perspectives from three Spokane area state legislators. Suzanne Schmidt, Tim Ormsby, and Marcus Riccelli all agree that the Washington tax system needs updating, but how to fix it? That's the rub. Those stories and more are coming up on SPR News Today. As red and now blue states around the country try to redraw their congressional maps, why isn't Washington? KUOW's Scott Greenstone reports on a new proposal from state Democrats.
To change the state constitution and redraw congressional maps sooner than 5 years from now, you'd need two-thirds of state legislators to put the change to a vote of the people. Joe Fitzgibbon, the Democrats' majority leader in the House, submitted a resolution to do that this week.
Yeah, it's not going to pass.
Instead, it's to start the conversation. If Democrats win a two-thirds majority in the legislature this fall, they could ask voters to let them redraw the districts to offset states like Texas, which are gerrymandering their maps to further favor Republicans.
You know, that they'll stop at nothing, and states that, you know, have the ability to fight back are fighting back, as, you know, California and potentially Virginia.
Washington's two Republican congressmen did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
Kootenai County Assessor Bela Kovacs is trying to take away a homeowner's tax exemption from a property owner in Rathdrum. He says she doesn't actually live in Idaho. The owner is Allison Knapp, who announced last fall that she's running against Kovacs for assessor this year. SPR's Eliza Billingham has more.
Knapp testified under oath to county commissioners yesterday that she has resided in Rathdrum since August 2022. According to public records, she is currently registered to vote under that address. Knapp previously testified that her driver's license and utility bills also list her Rathdrum house as her residence. Kovacs told commissioners that other documents say otherwise. Knapp owns a business and a property in Washington, and Kovacs said it isn't clear if she has abandoned that residence.
Did the board exercise its authority to subpoena the evidence so we can make a factual decision here based upon the officially filed documents that Ms. Knapp herself filed?
Kovacs was unanimously appointed assessor by county commissioners in 2020 and ran unopposed in 2022. Later that year, the board stated that Kovacs was unable to properly do his job after hearing concerns from people who worked with him. They voted together to cut his salary in half. Kovacs took them to court, and a judge determined the board acted without substantial evidence. Knapp was previously the chief deputy assessor under Kovacs, but resigned in 2022. She says she's running for county assessor this year to restore trust and bring back professionalism.
It's hard to call this anything but abuse of power against a political opponent.
County commissioners will give their decision on the homeowner's exemption next Wednesday. I'm Eliza Billingham reporting.
Washington wildlife officials say they may have detected a new case of chronic wasting disease. That's a fatal illness that afflicts deer, elk, and moose. SPR's Doug Nadbornik reports the case could show the disease is spreading throughout eastern Washington.
The case involves a mule deer shot in Ferry County in October. It's not yet confirmed because tests conducted on different parts of the animal brought conflicting results, one positive, one negative. State wildlife veterinarian Kristen Mansfield says this would be eastern Washington's eighth case of chronic wasting disease.
In the cases in North Spokane, which are kind of localized to a certain area, we are increasing harvest opportunity there. So we're asking the landowners, you know, if they would be willing to harvest more deer in those affected areas so we can get a better idea of its presence and also remove potentially infected animals.
The first case was reported in Spokane County in 2024. Others were found in Spokane and Ponderay counties and on the Spokane Tribes Reservation. Mansfield says a case in Ferry County would show the disease has made a significant geographic jump. I'm Doug Nadbornik reporting.
OMAC is ready to close its library. Well, that's one of the rumors that's going around the town. But the city's mayor says that's not true. SPR's Murrow News fellow and rural reporter Monica Carrillo Casas has more.
The OMAC City Council meeting this week was packed with concerned constituents after rumors of a possible closure of the library. The rumor was fueled by a notice of termination for library services that was provided and signed by OMAC City Manager. The city cited wanting more control over how contracted library services are delivered. Right now, OMAC is served by the NCW Libraries, part of an inter-county rural library district. It was formed to serve Chillon, Douglas, Ferry, Grant, and Okanagan counties. The OMAC Library has been part of the district since 1961. After speaking with the city manager, Executive Director Barbara Walters says they agreed to extend the contract until the end of 2026 in order to negotiate a new agreement. Walters says several requests were made by the city, including limiting Wi-Fi access to business hours and implementing trespass signage and policies. OMAC Mayor Cindy Gagne says with ongoing discussions for contract negotiations, she doesn't anticipate the library closing. She reiterated a similar statement to constituents during the city council meeting Monday evening. As of now, there isn't a set timeline on when negotiations would be finalized. Monica Carrillo Casas reporting.
Municipalities around the Inland Northwest are drawing special attention to human trafficking this month. Spokane County proclaimed January Human Trafficking Prevention Month. Commissioners said that traffickers often target people who've experienced other forms of violence, and they encourage Spokane County residents to acknowledge the crime's prevalence and believe survivors. Sandpoint City Council says victims are often hidden in plain sight, making community vigilance critical. Mayor Jeremy Grimm is following the U.S. Senate's lead by proclaiming January 11th Human Trafficking Awareness Day. He wants Sandpoint residents to wear blue that day as a visible sign of unity and awareness. One of the many things that changed at the start of this month is how much a background check costs in Idaho. Law enforcement officials say statewide fingerprint-based criminal background checks went from $20 to $25. And national checks for things like concealed weapons license applications and employment screening are now at $37 for most people. The fee for name-based checks and concealed weapons license renewals remains unchanged at $20. Idaho State Police says the increase will help pay to keep up with a rise in the number of checks the department does annually. A small project that kicked off this week at the confluence of the Yakima and Columbia Rivers could make a big difference for salmon. Northwest Public Broadcasting's Courtney Flatt was there.
For decades, the Bateman Causeway connected the Richland shoreline to an island popular with Tri-Cities anglers, birders, and nature enthusiasts. But that land bridge also blocked the Yakima River, creating a pool of warm water that was deadly for migrating salmon. Joe Blodgett is with the Yakima Nation Fisheries. He's hopeful removing the causeway will help migrating salmon.
This is going to be very beneficial in helping the goals of having all stocks that were once here in the Yakima be able to come back in self-sustaining numbers.
A handful of onlookers watched from the shore as two excavators stripped trees and shoveled dirt from the causeway. Booms blocked debris from flowing downstream. The project is expected to last through February. I'm Courtney Flatt, on shore in Richland.
When the Washington legislature convenes Monday for its 2026 session, taxes will be on the agenda. Democrats have long argued the state's tax structure is unfair to people with low incomes. Republicans say the Democrats want to overly burden the rich. Seattle Democratic Representative Sean Scott has proposed a payroll tax for high-income earners at large companies. Republicans say that's essentially an income tax, which is illegal in Washington. SPR's Doug Nadvornik spoke with Spokane legislators Tim Ormsby, Suzanne Schmidt, and Marcus Riccelli about their view of taxes, including an income tax. We'll start with Tim Ormsby.
I favor a high earner's income tax is my preference. So, you know, I think the number that I've heard bantied around, and this, there is no bill, there is no policy that can be scrubbed and scrutinized at this point. But if your earnings are over $1 million, the first dollar after $1 million, there will be a percentage tax on anything over $1 million. And we have a lot of wealthy people in this state. I think this only applies to, you know, a handful of folks in Spokane County, maybe a little more, but it is largely a Western Washington phenomenon. And this is where Representative Scott is from, the Capitol Hill area in the 43rd District. I think it's a reflection of his constituents' interests.
Representative Schmidt, I'm guessing you look at this a little bit differently than...
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with Representative Scott's bill either. I've perused it, but I haven't looked deep into it. However, I know that it was fashioned after the head tax for Seattle, and we know that that didn't work in King County. We had a lot of businesses leaving King County and moving over to Bellevue. So I don't know that that is, if that's a good way to move forward. I don't agree with the income tax on the higher income. You know, I would love to be able to figure out how we could restructure our tax structure so it isn't so regressive. But at the same time, we have to keep businesses in the state. And if we don't have businesses, we aren't going to be able to collect any taxes. And I think that that's some of what we're seeing with, you know, with the forecast being lower than what we had anticipated. I know that over the interim, I've spoke with probably 100 businesses that have, you know, some of them have told me that they've already, you know, they're in the process of moving to Idaho, or they're certainly thinking about it. Others have closed. They just, you know, they really couldn't survive under the pressure of all of the taxes that are going into place as far as, you know, the workers' comp has went up, the unemployment, paid family medical leave, the CARES Act, all of those things are, you know, contributing to making it difficult for small businesses to perform and to be successful in the state. So I don't have the answer to how we look at that, but I don't believe that income tax is the right way to go. I know that we've voted for that as a state several times. Over the last 100 years, and every time it's been voted down. So I don't think that that's a direction that my constituents want to go. I have been receiving already quite a few emails saying no new taxes, no income tax. So that's not the direction that I would like to see the state going.
So Senator Richelli, just following up on that, just in terms of messaging to the public at a time when the economy is slowing down, it's not a very good time to be talking about new taxes or restructuring taxes. What about the messaging?
I mean, here's the message for me. The federal government's trying to sweep the legs of working people when it comes to healthcare access. If we think about businesses going out of business, particularly our small business owners, what we're looking at the federal level with HR1 in our community to rip affordable healthcare from so many small business owners, what that will do to our communities. When we talk about Ritzville Hospital that's on the brink of closure, those are the things that I think are going to impact us, and we need to have an honest conversation. What I really appreciate is Representative Schmidt has brought forward what we haven't heard for a number of years, but it's been building up, and that is an openness to at least a discussion to know that we are not on a sustainable path. I think both sides understand that, and I think the people of Washington do, but I'm really concerned about all the loss of services, and particularly we've banked our future on the healthcare sector in this community. Not just providing those services, which are essential, but also the jobs that go along with it.
So in a 60-day session, is it realistic to think that you can have a pretty comprehensive discussion about the state's tax structure and come up with some sort of resolution this year? So I'll go to your colleagues. What about a 2026 discussion about taxes? Tim, you've been around long enough to understand that a lot of these things have been talked about for years and years and years.
We can do hard things, Doug. We can do hard things. We've demonstrated that time and again this past session, very difficult, the 2025 session. We just showed up every day and we did the next thing. And if you just keep doing the next thing, pretty soon or eventually, there are no more next things to do.
That's Spokane State Representative Tim Ormsby with SPR's Doug Nadvornik as part of a KSPS legislative preview program. You can hear the full conversation today on Inland Journal at 12:30 on SPR News and watch it tonight at 7 o'clock on KSPS. SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Scott Greenstone, Eliza Billingham, Doug Nadvornik, Monica Carrillo-Casas, Courtney Flatt, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also the host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.